We're going to continue our series of what it means to be a gospel people. And as I was preparing for this week, I couldn't help but think about right after me and Melissa got married, I was going to save us some money and work on my truck. And the truck I have is, they just changed engine designs. It's got a Triton engine in it. I know this because I Googled it. Not because I know anything, but one of the things I Googled, because I Googled, that's what I did. I thought, well, I'll work on my truck. I'm just going to go in and type in Google, like, you know, how do I need to change out my spark plugs? Because I'd heard it was it's really a headache to change out the spark plugs in this particular engine. The problem is the way they sit, it sits at a weird angle. You go in one way and you've got to have a special socket to get to it, but they're notorious for just wrenching right in half. If you get a ratchet in there, because of the weird angle they have, you can snap them off. And because of that, they tend to be kind of expensive to have them changed out. So I figured, well, I'll do it myself. So I went and read everything I could read on Google on how to do this, and went out and spent about, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours working on this truck. And after a bunch of bad thoughts. I didn't say anything bad, but I had bad thoughts towards my truck. After some busted knuckles, I got them switched out. I didn't wrench anything off. I had to take some things off the manifold to get to the spark plugs. But I got everything back together. And I know going into the house, I felt pretty good about myself thinking, you know, hey, I'm smart. I know how to do this. I can figure this out. I can read it and just do it. And then when I tried to start it up, a bunch of oil just started pouring out of the engine. I didn't put things back together like they were supposed to go. But I didn't snap off any spark plugs. I was thinking about that as I was preparing this and thinking about that's really what we do when we think about how Christians should live. Most of the time, we think, well, I know this. I know what this is supposed to look like. We observe other people and we say, well, that's what we're supposed to do. Or we go on our experience. We think, well, I've done this a lot. We just assume that how we live life, how we think about things, how we deal with people, all of these things just are like we've always seen them and done them. And so we go on trusting and leaning in what we know, what we can do, what we can accomplish with our own, because that's what society teaches us, right? If we'll just put our mind to it and put enough effort behind it, we can accomplish anything. The truth is, that Scripture teaches that wisdom is a completely different path. That if that's the philosophy you take to living the Christian walk, that's not wisdom. That's actually lead you to a bad, bad place, as our Proverbs we read earlier warns us. So the passage we're going to be looking at this morning, if we are humble enough to own that maybe we've got some things that we're not thinking the right way about. Maybe we're not applying the word and allowing it to shape us the way that it should, will correct us and show us what walking in wisdom looks like for the Christian life. So that's where we're going this morning. So if you would, please stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be going verses 15 through 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You may be seated. And as you're being seated, if you would, bow with me in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning wanting to know what true wisdom is. Help us this morning, help me this morning, not lean on our own understanding, not think that we've got this figured out, not think, well, this message is meant for someone else. But open our eyes and minds and hearts to hear your word this morning so that we can find true wisdom, because not because we're smart enough or good enough or people like us, but because you're good enough, because you are alone wise to what you desire for our lives. and only you know how we ought to truly live. Let that shape us this morning, and not our own strength, not our own understanding, not our own abilities. In that spirit, I ask that you would fill me with your spirit so that your word would be preached with your power and that only your truth would be spoken this morning. I ask this all in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we're going to be looking at walking in wisdom this morning. And really, I've just got two major ideas here. This text just contrasts. There's a way to live life that's wise, and there's a way to live life that's foolish. He says that we've got to know how we're going to live. He talks about the days being evil, that that we're to know how we're to live this kind of life because we're to use our time well because days are evil. Here's what he means. The day, the time that we have, that you have on this earth is passing by, right? The reason why everything doesn't go the way that you want it, the reason why our health doesn't always stay where it needs to be and we decline as the years go on, or we decline rapidly as the years don't go on. Some people get a short life, some people get a long life, and we don't get to know which one we're going to have, is because we live in a broken age tainted by sin. And that's what he means by evil here. Not that things, everything in the world in and of itself is evil, but this world is tainted by evil. And so because of that, you don't know how long you have. You don't know when the Lord's going to come back and refine all of this with fire, giving us a new heaven and a new earth. You don't know. So what he's saying is you need to make the most use of your time, and so you need to live it well. Live it with purpose. Make it count. That's what he's saying. That's wise. Make what you're going to do with your life today, tomorrow, whatever the Lord gives you, make it count. Don't be wasteful with your time and throw it away. Make it count. And so this morning, I want to show you two paths. One that is wasteful. One that will lead to you just throwing away what God has given you. And one that capitalizes on the time that you have so that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're making it count for the Lord. So that's the call this morning, is to walk in wisdom. So we're going to be looking first, some of this is out of implication, and some of this is directly spoken here, but we're going to be looking at the foolish path. So let me define what foolishness is from a biblical standpoint. When we call somebody a fool in our language, in English language, in our society and culture, that is a slam. You're calling somebody ignorant. You're calling them stupid, an ignorant. I can't even say the word. Yeah, you got it. That's what we're doing. We're saying, hey, you're stupid. That's not what the text is saying when it talks about foolishness. There's a sense in which maybe you could get that, but mainly the idea of foolishness is just like the idea that Randy talked about this morning about darkness. You know, one of the things I thought about when he's talking about, you know, it is interesting, right, that when he was holding that box here, it's dark inside because there's no light in it. But when we open that box, darkness doesn't just take over, because you know what? Darkness is actually nothing. Darkness isn't anything. It's just the absence of light. Well, that's what foolishness is. Foolishness is not really anything in and of itself. It's the absence of knowing God's will for your life. That's all it is. And so if you want to know how to waste your life, how to throw it away, how to make sure that it's not going to count. It may count for worldly standards. You may accomplish everything you desired in life, the goals you've set for yourself. You may be somebody that's remembered for a generation or two. But ultimately, you'll be forgotten. There are very few people in history that are remembered more than a century. And if they remember you, they might remember your name, but they'll never remember who you are. The only way that we make it count is by following the wisdom God provides. The problem is, most of us, or at least a lot of times, our default setting is that we live our lives foolishly. And this is a life that just simply does not understand or live by God's will for it. That's it. It's absence of knowing God's will. People who live this kind of life, even in a church setting, especially in church settings, use religious words and actions and deeds, like they can kind of put on a front, a religious front, to hide the fact that they don't know. And so I think what this text does is dive deep into, when we look at this text, are you really walking in wisdom, or are you being foolish? Living a life that just is being wasteful with what God's given you. You can look like you've got it figured out. You can look like you have it all together and you don't have issues, and you look like somebody driven and knows what they're doing in church. But you can fake that. What I ask for you this morning is to really do some self-examination. And what we're going to look at, what foolish living looks like, what it's described here in this passage, some of it's direct, some of it's indirect, but can be picked up from implications from this passage. See, examine yourself this morning. Ask God to show you, am I throwing away the life that God's given me? The way that it's described here directly is that a life that is foolish is controlled by substances and appetites. So instead of knowing what you're living for, knowing what God wants from you, knowing, like, I'm going to make my life count, and you're in control of yourself, the exact opposite of that, foolish living is allowing the things that you desire, like being satisfied and chasing after stuff, or substance abuse. Okay, people do this because they want to escape, they want to get away, they don't want to deal, they're depressed, they're sad, they're whatever. Using those things is not, you're throwing your life away, because you're not living a life that's controlled by God's Spirit. You're not walking in wisdom. You can't live the life God has called you to live when something else is controlling it. That's the gist here. So if that's you this morning, you're throwing your life away. We'll get to it here in a second. You don't have to live that way. But know that if alcohol is controlling you, you want to go and get drunk, go and do whatever, the time you're doing that, you're throwing it away. There's this misconception, especially young people, okay, because some of y'all still think I'm young. I was where some of y'all are, not too many years ago. But there's this like myth, and me and my brother have had this conversation before. I've got a younger brother who preaches and teaches, but I remember when he was in high school, his thought was, and I thought the same way, so I was able to talk to him this way, is that, man, I've got all the time in the world, you know? I just want to be able to do what I want to do, and then at some future point, I'll clean my act up and then do what God wants. And what I pointed out to my brother is like, look, the time that you're using now to do what you want to do so you have your time and then you can give God his time is time that you're throwing away. If you don't take advantage of the things God's provided you right in this moment, you may think that you're able to have some time that's yours and get something out of it, and you're acting like living for God is throwing away your life when you're really wasting it now. And so that's what we're doing when we allow our appetites, whether that's a sexual appetite or a food appetite or a desire to have this, that, or the other, or just having stuff to make us feel better, that when we allow that to control us, we're throwing our life away. We're living foolish. We can't live God's will for our life when other things are controlling it. So that's the first mark of a foolish, walking in foolishness rather than wisdom. You don't have to do this to do these other things, okay? So maybe that hits some of you. That isn't going to hit all of you. Trust me, by the end of this, you're all going to be hit by something, okay? If I got hit, you're going to get hit. So that's how this works. So the other thing that's here is when it talks about in the positive here, which we're going to get to here in a minute, when we talk about wise living, the thing you can draw away from that is it lists all these things that we're to speak to one another. The implication is that foolish living is a life spent with a pattern of tearing down other Christians. So you're living foolishly when you seek to attack other people and tear them down, whether to their face or behind their backs. When you seek to tear other people down in Christ, you're throwing your life away. Because what you're doing actually is pointless and meaningless. It may make you feel better, but at the end of the day, it's pointless. It's meaningless. You're not doing anything that is going to matter to anyone, especially not God. In fact, not only is it not going to count for anything to God, he's going to be really angry about it. Those are not things that please God. Those are the things that brought, like we talked about last week, God's wrath on the world. So when, see, because we can act like we have everything put together, we can act like we've got it all figured out, but how we actually interact with other people demonstrates whether we're walking in wisdom or foolishness. And this could be in a privacy of our home or in public. But if we make a pattern, if there's a ebb and flow of tearing down other Christians, wanting to always attack weaknesses that they have, that is a mark of foolishness. And you're wasting your life. It's not going to count. The things you're doing don't count for anything. Related to this, maybe some of us don't have that issue, but we have a life marked with unthankfulness and we have a critical spirit. Look, I know that some of us are hardwired and we see this all the time. You take the surveys online or you know, they used to be in magazines where you could find out if you're an optimist or a pessimist. God does not care whether you're an optimist or a pessimist. All he requires of you is that you're thankful, which is a tip we'll get to here in a bit. Which means that living foolishness is saying that I deserve better than this. To think that you are owed more by God than what you have is to throw your life away. To be critical about everything, there's always something to complain about. Well, that wasn't good enough, and this isn't an issue, and this is an issue. And if all you do is gripe, you're throwing your life away. You're not walking in wisdom. You're definitely not honoring Christ with your life, which we're going to get to here in a second. All this builds to this point. If these are markers for your life, there are things that begin to pattern. The reason why these are so bad, the reason why that this is actually worse than foolish, is these are markers and indicators that you're not actually living with Christ being the focal point of your life. You're not living under the submission of Christ, and Christ is not driving who you are and what you're doing with your life. You are. You're living your life for you. And this text says that we're going to get into what submission means here in a second. But this text says that we are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The opposite of that is doing these things to other people. So when you do these things to other people, not only are you doing something that God says you're not, that is foolish, you're actually dishonoring Christ. To live these kind of life is to dishonor Christ. It's to thumb our nose at Christ and say, you're not worth living for. That's foolish. I think it's easy for even those that have a pattern of walking in wisdom at times to be foolish. So there are some of you here who recognize, maybe I've been a little foolish. Maybe I've done some of these things and I'm trying to walk in wisdom. I want to do what God's will is for my life. But I find myself doing this, you know, and maybe it's happened this week, and you need to repent of it. Do that. But there are others of you here who know how to let other people think that you've got it all together. And the truth is, you've never walked in wisdom. You really don't know because you don't want to ask. You don't want to appear stupid to other people what God's will is for your life. And so you've just done this. Because this is who you really are under all the veneer. You're not thankful with life. You haven't been for a long time. Nothing is ever good enough, ever, most of the time. And really, the only time that you have joy is when you're getting into it with other people. You're throwing your life away, if that's you. God is offering you here in this passage something more out of life. A life that's fulfilling, a life that's satisfying, but more than that, a life that actually leaves a mark and counts for something. A life that you can actually live that will leave a mark for all eternity. One that honors Christ and actually works towards building his kingdom on the earth. Your efforts, your work, the things you've done, even if they're unseen by most people, will last forever. But as long as you're living this way, you're throwing it all away. So this is what foolish living looks like. What's described here in this passage, though, is a different way of living. Wisdom, it's a life that understands what God desires from them and then lives accordingly. It's a life that speaks for itself. People who live a life walking in wisdom don't have to spend a long time defending themselves because what they do, their actions, how they interact with other people speaks for itself. And so let me say this about God's will here in this passage. He doesn't say you need to know what God's will is and then gives a list of things. So those are two separate ideas, right? Some people teach that they think, maybe they don't teach this, but they think when they read this, well, now I've got to figure out what God's will is for this and for that. Look, it's not complicated. He says, wise living is knowing the will of God. Here's what the will of God is. He gives you what it is here in this passage, and here it is. It's living a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's saying each morning as you wake up, God, my life today, I don't want to live for me. I want to live for you. And I realize that I'm not going to be able to love people like I should. I'm not going to be thankful like I should. I'm going to have issues, and I'm going to need you to give me strength to do this. I can't do this on my own. Because God's not called you to superficial Christian living where you put on a face so you got everything all right, but really privately you're a very embittered, angry person. That's not Christian living. There are a lot of those people in church in general. You may know some people like that in other churches. That's not Christian living. God wants you to have a full and satisfying, meaningful life that counts for something. And he's given you everything that you need to do it. This is accomplishable. This is not unobtainable. Because if you've trusted in the work that Christ has done for you on the cross, you have his Spirit in you. You just have to lean on the Spirit of God and what his truth that he's revealed in his word, rather than, oh, I got this. I know how to do this. No. If that's your default setting, you're going to go right back into foolish living. Foolish living ends when you realize, you know what? I'm not smart enough. I don't have this figured out. God, I need you. That's the beginning of wisdom. And it's a life that submits itself and says, God, you direct and guide my path. Allowing God's Spirit to guide us rather than just doing what we want to do. It's the beginning of having a life that's satisfying, that counts for something, that leaves a mark. It's a life that encourages other Christians in their faith. That's what it's talking about here. That you are the sort of person that when you come alongside other Christians, you're encouraging them in their walk. You're pointing them to Jesus. After talking with you, they feel refreshed in their walk with the Lord. Some of you know people like that you probably know in this church. You could go and say, you have really poured into my life and helped me in my walk. But that's what we strive for. It's easy to tear somebody down. You're not helping them. That's for the justification we do when we tear people down. Oh, well, I'm helping them see how things really are. No, you're not. You're making yourself feel better by saying, well, I don't have the issues you have, so I'm going to attack that so that I feel better about myself and I don't have to look at my own issues. That's not maturity. That's not wisdom. That's foolishness. Wisdom is a life that encourages Christians saying, okay, yes, you have some issues here. How can I encourage you, build you up so that you love Jesus more? Because that's the only way people really change. It's a life that praises God and is thankful for everything in the good times and bad. Notice what the text says, that it's a life that's always giving thanks always for everything. No loopholes, no exceptions. And that's a hard thing to do because this goes back to us relying on the Spirit. Most of us do not have the perspective or the time or we don't have the knowledge to step back and say, I can be thankful for this because, like, let me give you an example. I'm thankful that Melissa had debilitating migraines at Texas Tech in 2003. Not because I'm thankful she was in pain. I'd be a really bad husband if that was the case, or a really sick person, right? That's not why I'm thankful that she got them. She was at Texas Tech in their interior design program, and she got debilitating headaches that caused her to have to end school at Texas Tech and move to her folks' house, and then she finished her degree at UTA. If she had not had the debilitating headaches at Texas Tech in 2003, I would have never met her after she graduated from UTA, and we wouldn't have been married. If she hadn't have taken gone to UTA, and after we got married and everything and gotten finished with the business degree in human resources, then I wouldn't have had some things put together that I needed to put together because I didn't know how to do a resume or cover letters or any of that stuff. She got a degree in that. So that worked well for me, have her help me along that way. But if she hadn't been at Texas Tech, was that a wasted time? Then we would have never heard about this place called Roscoe because I didn't know where that was. There's this place called Roscoe looking for a youth pastor, but she had driven through there because she had gone to Texas Tech, you know, where she didn't finish her degree, which you look at and say, well, that was wasted time. But if she hadn't have gone there and had the debilitating headaches, I wouldn't have ended up in West Texas. If I had not been at Roscoe and gotten involved with the BSM ministry there, I wouldn't have ended up becoming the BSM director and meeting Larry Wilkie and meeting some of the ladies here at this church who were doing the BSM lunch and meeting Terry White, who was the pastor over at Avondale. And if it wasn't for those people and connections, I would have not put my resume here at Lamar Street Baptist Church and been pastor and standing before you today. I'm thankful that God gave her the debilitating headaches in 2003. Not because those headaches were good, but because God takes things that are not good and works them together for our good. Living in wisdom is saying, God, I'm thankful for the circumstance, not because this thing that's happened to me is good. You may be going through a really difficult time now in your life, and the things happening to you, God's not asking you to look at something evil or bad and say that's good. No. Okay? God's not asking you to do that. That's not what being thankful is. Being thankful is saying, God, you're big enough, you're great enough, and I trust you enough. I trust that you're good. I trust your word, that you work everything together for my good. And I want to thank you for allowing me to go through this right now, even though it's hard, even though it hurts. Because I know that you will do something great through this. Not because of who I am, but because of who you are. Thankful for everything. That's wisdom. You don't have to know why. You don't have to know why. God does. And a wise person looks at him and says, you're big enough, you're good, I can't see all this. This hurts. I'm angry a lot. Help me be thankful. Thank you for allowing me to walk through this. Because I know walking through this is going to count for something. And finally, a mark of wisdom is a life marked by putting other people's well-being before their own. That's what the submission here looks like. Depending on commentators, some would talk about, well, this is about authorities and stuff, and it gets into that later. This is talking about among every Christian. What that means, at least in this context, in this verse, is that you're living your life in such a way that you're looking at people around you and saying, I'm not going to look out for number one. That's what the world teaches. You look out for number one. Scripture teaches, as Christians, a wise life looks out for other people before you look out for yourself. It's not the safe place to be. It does mean that you're going to have to put yourself out there. It means sometimes you're not going to get what you want. It means you may be uncomfortable. It may mean that you have to sacrifice. But a wise life looks at other people and says, I'm willing to do that out of reverence for Christ because he did that for me. Christ went through discomfort, pain, suffering, and death for you. And he's asking you to do that for other people because that's the life that really counts. That's the life that really makes him look good. And that's the life, even though it's hard at times, is the life that you're going to find most satisfaction and joy in. And if it's in the Lord's will and you get to live long enough, you begin to see the fruits of that. People that you've poured into, that you've loved, that you'll have friendships and people who will do anything for you. Not because of who you are, but because of what Christ is doing in you and through you in their lives. That's wise living. So where are you at? Look, you're not going to do this perfectly, but you can do this. It's possible to say, I'm living wisely. I'm seeking God's will and asking him, what do I need to do? God doesn't promise that he's going to give you the answer to every little question in life as to what you need to do. He simply says, this is what you need to do. He tells you everything you need to know to live for him. The other stuff will fill in itself. Our problem is we want to ask different questions and we want different answers than what God gives. Well, God, what about this? What about it? If God wanted you to know who you're going to marry, what's going to happen in the next year, where you're going to need to go to school, what you need to do about this financial thing or this relationship or this, he would have clearly said, Clay, I need you to make sure that you meet Melissa on this date and y'all can get married. You know, God's word doesn't say those things. What God requires from you is fairly simple. That you live a life being guided by him and allowing his word to shape you, to mold you. That you're thankful in everything. And that you are humble and merciful and gracious towards other people. And build them up in Christ out of reverence for Christ. That's a life of wisdom. That's a life that understands that's what God desires from you. And when you're living that way, make the best decision with what you have in front of you. Get counsel from other people. You're not going to have certainty until you're in the moment. And if it's happening as it's happening in the moment, you know this is what God had planned because it's happening, because he's in control. And God doesn't promise that you'll know everything, but he does promise he gives you everything that you need to walk the life of faith and walk in wisdom. Amen. Are you walking in wisdom, or are you just wasting your life? My prayer for you this morning is that you would commit to live a life that counts, that matters in the kingdom of God. That you would be a thankful person, grateful for everything that God's done for you. That you would encourage one another in the faith, build one another up, help people love Jesus more. Don't give them a reason to disregard Jesus or the church because of your attitude and actions. And put other people's interest and well-being above your own for the sake of Christ, of honoring him. Because you love him. He's given you everything you need to do that by giving you his spirit. The question is, will you submit to that? Or are you going to lean on what you think is best, your experience, your wisdom, your understanding? Don't do that. During our time of invitation, you're going to have a time to respond to God's word. I'd ask that you do some reflection and look at what you're doing with your life. Assess it. If you need to get right with somebody, get right with somebody. If you need to get talk with the Lord, you can do that up front with me. You can do that in your seat. But you respond as the Lord leads. If y'all would stand, I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to have our time of invitation. Father, I confess to you this morning that there are definitely times that I lean on my own intuition, understanding, my gut, my experience, rather than you. Father, I pray this morning that you would just show us areas of life where that's the case. Help us to clearly see what kind of life we're living. Help us to grab hold of the good gifts you've given us so that we can live a life walking in wisdom, so that we can be joyful, so that we can be thankful, so that we can be the kind of person that leaves a mark for all eternity, for your glory, for your name's sake. there's anyone here this morning who realizes that they've wasted most of their life, that maybe they've never felt like their life has counted for anything, but they want a fresh start. They want a new beginning. They want you. I pray this morning that you would give them the courage and strength to step out and talk with someone who can point them to you this morning. That they'd come down and talk with me, talk with Brother Billy, so that they can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have life in you and will have a life that counts. I ask this all in your name, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen.